All right. I said I feel like I'm old already. It's been 30 years, by the way, since how long we've been together. So, you know, sometimes when you get older, you forget a little bit, you know. But when you're having fun, you really don't care how long it's been. You just like what God's doing. Amen? It's interesting to see what God's doing. And today, you know, I know some of you just clap for me to come up here. When I get through this sermon, you're probably going to boo me to get out of the building. Because this is going to be a tough service today. Because I've been praying, I've been reading books, I've been doing stuff, and I've been seeking the Lord about what to do and how to do what we're doing. And it's all about you today. It's about your giftings and your callings that's on your life. And if I can do one thing today, I want to prod the church of the living God to get up and let's move and let's do what God has for us to do. Is anybody open to that today? Two hands. Thank you. Three, four, five hands. Well, I want you to come to that place today and let this be a life-changing experience for you today. Instead of coming in here today to listen to an old man babble around and talk, I want it to really prick your heart today and let you come to the place where you realize that you are important and God has got something very special for you to do in the kingdom of God. And it starts here. Does not the Bible say, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven? Well, I want His kingdom to start with me in my personal life to do what He would have me to do. And it always entails other people. But today, the title of this sermon is going to be Your Gift. Your Gift. Now, think about that while we're going through here, because I'm going to touch on quite a few things and try to do it. And Richard just came up and asked me, he said, how many people is going to be in your sermon today with all this stuff up here? I said, just me and Jesus. That's it. That's all that's going to be here today. But you're going to be a part of it because you have something very special to do in every part of your life. And I want to prod it today and get you going there. So let's turn to the first scripture, 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. It says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift. Everybody say gift. A gift. Minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies. And I underline that twice in my Bible because it says, received a gift, minister to one another. And it says, and let him do it. Everybody say, do it. See, there's a difference in doing what God says and just hearing what God says. We all come in here every Sunday morning and we hear a great word that Pastor Terry preaches or whoever's preaching, we get a good word. But if we don't go live it out, if we don't go do it, it is of no avail. Now, it's lodged down in there deep somewhere and God will bring that back up sometimes when you do need it. But I'm going to tell you what, it's refreshing when you get that is to immediately go out and start using it right then, that next week. Sometimes I'll get a word from some Pastor Terry, a preacher word, and I'll get that lodged in my spirit, man, and I can't wait till Monday morning to come along so I can take that and I can go give that to someone else that I can show them and say, look, this word is alive. It's alive. It just pricked my heart this Sunday, and I want it to touch you this Sunday. I want you to have a difference in your life, in every part of it. And let's move on. It says, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. See, everything that God gives us, he gives us the ability to use that. Do you understand that? You know, us guys, we'll go buy something, maybe for the house or swing set or toy for something or anything you have to put together. You get it in a box. Well, we just go to tear it into that box and start opening it. And we take the instructions and throw them on the side. And then we'll start putting the thing all together. And then we'll come to that place and it's like, oh, man, where does this thing go? I think I just put that in there upside down. And now the whole thing is out of whack. I put a bookcase together one day and I started out wrong. Everybody say wrong. We have a word here at the church. We say, I was wrong. You know, we don't like to say that word, but we're wrong at times. And I was wrong, and I started wrong, and when I got about halfway finished, I had to take it all apart and start all over again and start doing it right. Well, you know, with God, it's a little bit different, because what He does, He will call you, and He will immediately give you the ability to do that, sometimes without instructions. And if you have a problem, He's going to show you the instructions in the Bible. Now, the Bible ought to be our guide. That is our instruction book, if you will. But if we know the Word of God, then the opportunity opens. We already know what to do to it. Just go do it. And it will happen in every way that God gives you that. That in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Now, everybody in here that's got children, I like to watch this on funny videos, because they show these children all gathered around a Christmas tree at Christmas time, and they're all sitting there anxious and ready to go and just can't wait to pounce on those gifts and open them. And it's like when the mom and dad say, go, and Brother Don said that there is a Santa Claus a while ago. I just thought about that. But when the parents say, go for it, the children just rush to the tree. And they get all those gifts that's out there, and they begin to rip them and tear them and go inside of it and find out what's in there. And some of them find out exactly it was what they wanted, and they scream and holler and they wail and they cry and they doing all kinds of things just because this thing right here is not tight. But anyway, they'll do everything because they're excited about that gift that they wanted, and now they have it in their hands. But every now and then you'll find one to get a gift and they'll throw it on the floor. I can't believe you gave me that. That is the worst gift you could ever give to anybody. And it's like, how ungrateful could that little brat be to say that? Because it was a gift. Are y'all still with me? You give those kids gifts. You give one another gifts. And you watch them and you see what they really wanted to get. Well, I want you to know, God will always give us good gifts. He will give you what you need. Maybe not what you want sometimes, but He will give you what you need to sustain life and to be productive in everything that you do. Amen? He'll give you those gifts. He'll bless you because He wants to use you. Sometimes He will give you a gift that you really don't understand how to use that gift at first. But if you will stop and look at that gift long enough and look at Him and seek His face, He will begin to put a burning desire inside of you to use that gift. I'll never forget the first person I ever led to the Lord. That was not a gift that I had. I couldn't even spell evangelism. I didn't even know what witnessing was all about. But as a young Christian, I used that gift, or God did, with another person, and it was pointed out to me after the people got saved. He said, you have a great gift of evangelism in your life. The pastor of that church that I was going to told me that. And I said, what are you talking about, a gift of evangelism? He said, because you have a heart that loves people. And he said, and God used you and your story to win these people to Him. And he said, that is a great, great gift. And then he turned his head like that and kind of wiped his eyes. And I thought he had something in his eyes. And he didn't. He was really moved by that. And it's like, wow, I don't even know what I have. But somebody recognized it. Why don't I recognize it and start using it on a regular basis? Because people's lives can be changed if I will just take the gift that God gave me and begin to use that to touch other people. And that began to revolutionize my life and let me know that God has got a purpose for us. Amen? For every one of us, because every person in this room has got a gift today. I'm going to prove it to you before we leave here. I want you to know something. A great church is just not preaching and music. It's not coming here and sitting on that pew and coming in with hurts and desires and wants in your life and sitting down and listening to music and listening to great preaching and then get up and walk out of here. That is not what church is all about. Church is about taking, a great church is people finding their gifts. finding their gifts. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians, it said some came with prayer, some with music, some with songs, one with a hymn, one with doing something. I mean, it was everybody involved in doing something in a church to make it work. Very few people get involved in the body of Christ as far as ministry goes. Can I get an amen out of that? You got to get in the game if you want it to work in your life. If you want to see God move in this church and in your life, you have to get involved. You have to come along and say, God, what do you want me to do? My part of coming to church, when I come, it's not me coming to let everybody give to me, but what do I need to do when I walk in these doors to see me doing something for someone else? For me being a minister to someone else, whether you're a pastor or a teacher or a Sunday school teacher or a leader, it does not matter. If you're living and breathing and you're born again, you have the Spirit of God in you, you have a gift and you can minister to other people. Amen? Let me read you some statistics. It says, out of most churches around, 50% are not certain of their salvation. An average church, 50% of a church is not even certain of their salvation. 60% seldom even attend a church. This is believers. This is church members, okay? This is not people outside of that. 70% give less than 1% of their money to the church. 80% have no ministry in the church. 90% have never even been discipled or trained in any type of church outreach or any type of church understanding about what to do and how to do that. 90%. And I've watched that since I've been here for 18 years in the back there on Wednesday nights. I did a foundations class. And I started out, the first class I did had 60-something people in it. And we did a graduation. We would go about 8 to 10 weeks and we would do that. I'd bring them up here. Many of you have been through that class. But it was training you from being a baby Christian till you could work and do the things that God wanted you to do. I did that for 18 years. And you know, the last one that I did, just to go to show you how things change and times change, the last one I did, it was me and one lady in that group. Me and one lady came. And she was faithful. I could call her name, show her to you, but I'm not going to do that. It may embarrass her. But she would come every Wednesday night because she was sitting there. She was so hungry for the Word of God. She was so hungry to find out her purpose and her gifts and what God wanted her to do. And I'm going to tell you what, I stuck that whole class out for. We even went longer. I think we went about maybe 10 or 15 weeks out of that. But she learned. And you know who got blessed more than anybody? I did. But where is the people at today that are hungry enough to get up on a Wednesday night to come and to learn how to control your life, how to let Jesus be the Lord of your life, how to train you to give your witness, how to train you to live a good, productive life and be a good, Spirit-filled Christian? I don't want that 90% to be in our church. I'm going to be honest with you. We pay the price here. We pray, we fast for you guys, we study, we go to school, we do everything. And it's like, come and receive. We've gone to get the goods and we're here, we're letting God use us, and then nobody shows up. You're sitting in a room with a very few people in it. I'm not fussing, I'm not complaining, I'm just saying, where is the hunger of God's people at anymore? It says, as a result of that, 3,000 to 4,000 churches close every year. 3,000 to 4,000 churches close every year because of these stats that we're talking about right here. It says in 1900, 27 for every 10,000 churches would close. Now, in 2000, 12 of every 1,000 would close. The average church size is 75 people, and 85% of those have peaked out. That's as high as they will go. That's why we as pastors here try to raise up young people. We don't want this to be a church with just a bunch of old people, and all of our young people are gone, and they're going nowhere. We've laid down our lives. We paid the price for our young people to pick up that mantle and move on with the things of God. I want to see the young people of this church become great leaders. Not just leaders, but I'm talking about great leaders. I'm talking about people that would affect the city, that would affect the state, that would affect the world by doing what God says to do. Pastor Terry and I have been here for 30 years, and if that don't happen, brother, we have failed our job. And I'm not a failure. I didn't get in this thing to lose. I got in this thing to win. And I'm in this thing to help young people, to teach them, to train them, to get that heart of God in their lives where they'll go forth and do the things that God has given us to do. Amen? Most churches are doing the opposite of what God intended. It's now up to the preacher. It's not up to the preacher to do everything. You are part of the body of Christ, and you have something to do. We can't do this thing by ourselves. It's not within us to do it by ourselves. God didn't intend for the real church to be by itself. He intended for the church to be the body of Christ. That means everything has to work together. Amen? Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, it says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love." I hope you take what I'm saying today in love, because I do love you. If I didn't love you, I'd just blast you and go home. But I'm not. I'm here with you. I'm staying. I'm not planning on going anywhere. But listen to this. It says, "That we may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body," everybody say, "I'm part of the body." "The whole body, joined and knit together by every joint, supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share." That tells me that you have a part and you have a share. Every person that's ever getting led to the Lord and you brought them here, you have a share in their salvation. Every person that gets ministered to out there and you were a part of that, you shared part of your ministry, your gift to that person, you have a share in the glory of that thing that's going to happen in those people's lives. Because of the body of, for the edifying of itself, hundreds of people are not using their gifts. If I ask you today, you have a gift, what are you doing with it? You don't have to answer that. But if you know your giftings and your callings, and you reminisce just a little bit in your mind and say, when was the last time I used the gift that's in me? When was the last time that I heard God's voice and he told me to go and to do, and I did that? See, that's exercising that gift when you do that. If you don't do that, then your gift is dead and dormant. It's not there. You may have it down in there, but you're not using it. And to make it of effect, you have to use that gift that's within you. And you say, what's going on in the church service right now? I'll tell you what's going on in the church service. We got people that's running the sound. We had people that were singing. We had ushers and greeter, and hopefully they greeted you with great hospitality when you came in. If you're visiting and we didn't, I apologize for that. We'll get you. We'll hug your neck before you leave today. But there's things going on. There are people in the nursery that's taking care of children. They're not just taking care of them. They're ministering to our children. I've been up there before, and it's more than just goo-goo, da-da, and changing diapers. They are teaching those people about Jesus. They are little people, and they're teaching them about the things of God. There's things that's going on in the church. But do we need help? Yes, we need help. It would be great if you used your gift right where you are. You could be the greatest hospitality host on a pew that you're on if you'll just get up every Sunday morning and just check out your pew and see who's there. How many of you know that we're creatures of habit? We gravitate back to the same spot every Sunday morning. Every one of you is going to do that. See, there's a young couple sitting right here, the second time y'all been here. And they came back. Was y'all sitting right there when you came the first time? Same pew, wasn't it? And you know what? They're going to come back all the time. And if you want to see them, you can find them right there. And you are where you are because you sit there every Sunday. That's your spot. In fact, some of you, if somebody takes your spot, you get a little bit upset. You'll stand there and look at them like, how y'all? We're fine. Are you really? It would be good if you was on another pew, because this is really mine. There's things that go on in the church. But by odds, there's 80% of the people that do nothing, and there's 20%. Has somebody got your seat, Jasmine? There's 80. You made her mad. She might move her letter, brother. You better be careful. 80% of the people don't do anything. 20% of the people in most organizations and most churches do everything. 80% of the people do not give to the church. 20% of the people in a church are the ones that give and keep it going. So the 80% can come and have a comfortable seat that's theirs and do have lights and air conditioning. Somebody please say amen. Amen. Jesus says, I'm going away. And the church is to represent who Jesus is while he's gone. You think about that. Everything, if you met Jesus in person, I mean, we know him. We're going to see him in person again one day. But we know his spirit. We know how he feels. We know how his emotions are. We know how his compassion is. We know what his love is. But we can't visibly touch him and see him. But I'm going to tell you what. We can visibly see and touch the body of Christ today because we are the body. He's the head. Amen? We got to come to that place. The church is supposed to be what Jesus was physically when he was here. When people encounter the church, it should be the same as encountering Jesus, the body. If you saw Jesus and you walked those streets of Jerusalem when he was alive, I promise you, you would be looking for him. If somebody said, Jesus is out today. He's doing miracles today. I heard down the street he raised one from the dead. And I heard he was on another street. He healed a blind man. And I heard he called a prostitute to himself and forgave her. And I know that Jesus was there. I can sense that in my spirit. But when people come in this church, they need to encounter that from us. And they can. If we use the gift of healing, if we use the gift of wisdom and knowledge and the gift of miracles and working of faith, if all of that is working in the body of Christ, when people come into this church, they're going to say, Jesus was there. I felt him. I saw him. I saw what he was doing. I saw how he reached and he touched someone and they were changed. And it changed my life. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? If people don't encounter Jesus when they come in here, we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing as a church. Amen? We got to come to that place. It should be the closest thing that Jesus can ever be. When people come to this church, they ought to know that they've been with God. They ought to leave this place with a radiance on their face. And they ought to say, I've been with Jesus today. I heard his word. I shook his hand. I hugged his neck. And one of them came and laid hands on me. And now I'm healed. And now I'm well. Because Jesus was in that place. I know that I've been with God. Because I saw him when I was there today. We should be the personality of Jesus when we get involved. And you can provide the personality, not just a purpose. You can be the personality of Jesus. When you see people, you go up to them and you shake their hand. And I'm not talking about some fishy, floppy hand. I'm talking about grab onto them like me and Jimmy did this morning. He tried to out-squeeze me. He didn't do it, brother. But I'm talking about a squeeze. I'm one of those kinds that lock in there and say, hey, brother, how you doing today? Man, it's good to see you. It's good to see what God's doing in your life. I'm so blessed that you're here. I'm glad that you took your time to come and to worship with me. I'm excited about that. Now, this is some things that we can have the personality of Jesus in the church. I want you to listen to these. The first thing was, he was authentic. He was authentic. He was real. He was transparent. Do y'all understand that we're living in a day and age where we have the highest technology you can get? but we have the most closed up people and the less real people in all the world. Because the only thing that most people have that's real is in their hand and they're sitting there pushing buttons. I'm convinced that Jesus wouldn't have liked iPods and iPhones. Now, I'm not against that. I want you to know I'm going to eventually get one. I'm working up to it. It's taken me years to get there. But I pray to God I'll never hold that thing in my face when someone else is standing there that I need to be talking to, because God still gave me a voice box and whatever things that come out of my mouth, words. And if I can't use those, then I'm useless. I'm not being real with people. I'm not being transparent. I have to come to that place and realize that if I'm going to be like Jesus, I'm going to have to act like Jesus. Amen? Another thing is, he was authentic. He was compassionate. He looked around. I'm convinced when Jesus was sitting there, you know, you look into those lovely eyes that he's got, that he was a man of compassion. And I'm convinced that his eyes were not working like a radar thing, but I'm convinced that when he looked around the room, he saw needs. And when he saw a need, he went that way until that need was met. He saw people in their hurts, and he was there to help them. Another thing was, he looked at you with love. I can't wait to get there to let him look at me. I sense his love all the time. But to let him look right into your very soul, into your very being, with eyes that really love you more than we can ever imagine. And that's agape love that God's only got. But he can look into the depths of our heart and give us love that would blow us away. He was gentle in everything that he did. He was not robust. He was not proud. He was not arrogant. Of course, he did tear up a table and a whip one day in the temple because people doing things out of order. And rightfully so, he did that. But I'm convinced wherever he went, he was gentle with people. Even if they were right or wrong, he was still gentle in them. Look at the woman that came to him that they caught in the very act of adultery. He was a perfect gentleman. I believe he was sitting down there looking not at her, but looking at the ground and writing the Pharisees' sins in the dirt. And in the Bible says that he turned to her and says, "Where are your accusers?" She said, "They've gone." And he said, "Neither do I condemn thee." And I'm convinced that he did that with the most gentle heart that a person could ever have and let her go, because he was authentic. We need to be authentic. We need to be transparent. We need to have compassion. We need to have love for one another. And we need to be gentle with people. You know, I've told y'all before, Janice was raised in a library. I was raised in a barn. It didn't take her very long to learn some good traits in her life. But it's taken me a lifetime to get the barn out, because I'm just rough and ragtag me sometimes. But I'm going to tell you what, God's still not through with me. And I'm glad of that, because I want to be authentic. And if there's one thing I want to do, is to be real to people, to bless them. Another thing, he was relevant to people. When he preached to farmers, he talked about sowing. When he talked to fishermen, he talked about fishing. When he talked to shepherds, he talked about sheep. Now, we ought to be the same way. Find something, a common ground with people when you talk to them. And talk about farming. Talk about fishing. Talk about sheep. But most of all, talk about Jesus. When the time comes in that conversation, turn it around and say, "What are you doing for God?" Or let me ask you this, what God's doing in you now? What is he doing in your life? Because that encourages one another. It gets us there. Another thing was, he was enjoyable to be around. He was enjoyable. People enjoyed being around Jesus. The Bible even talks about that. He was like a magnet to children. Wherever Jesus went, the children ran and jumped in his lap, and he blessed them because he was like a magnet to them. They wanted to be around him. And not only that, sinners wanted to be around him. The Bible says one day Matthew saw him, and then Matthew gets saved, and he goes and gets all his lawyer buddies and brings them. And they start getting saved. Another day, he's walking down the street, and he sees this little small figure of a man climbing in a tree, and he says, "Wow, that's interesting." And he gets there, and it's Zacchaeus, climbed up in a sinner, I'm talking about. If we could just get Christians to climb a tree, or Christians to come to church, wouldn't that be wonderful? What a marvelous idea. But he climbed a tree to go see Jesus. I'm talking about a sinner. And Jesus says, come down, Zacchaeus. I'm coming to your house today. He was hospitable to him. He brought him to his house and got him saved. And besides that, you know the story. You read it. Where Zacchaeus got under such conviction, he even gave all the money. Four times what he got back to the people. Jesus will change you. You have to be plugged into what is going on. If we're going to use the gift that God gave us, we got to be plugged in somewhere to let it happen. If you're not plugged in, then it's not going to happen. Jesus was plugged in to everybody that he was around. Use your gifts. Find somewhere to get in. If you just come and do nothing, your gift will become self-centered. It will be all about you, and it's all about blessing you. If you don't use your gift. You know, I got Donna to pack these. She did a great job on these. Look at this. Look at these gifts. Aren't they pretty? Wouldn't y'all love to have these? Well, you got something better than this. See this big one here? See this big gift right here? Wouldn't you love to have that? Or would you rather have? You know, I feel like a TV host, you know. Would you rather swap this or for what's behind door three? Well, all of these are pretty gifts. But I'm going to tell you what, they're all futile because they're wrapped, they're no good. They look great on the outside, but nothing's coming out of them until you unwrap them. You have to unwrap a gift to see what's in the gift to get it. God has given us gifts in our lives. And do we want to have it just say, yeah, I have the gift of faith. I'm a prophet of the Lord. God uses me in healing. God uses me and give people words of wisdom, words of knowledge. I can speak in tongues. I have these gifts that God's given me. But if we leave them on that table and they're never unwrapped, they're useless. They're useless. And by the way, they're all useless because they're empty boxes. This is just a prop here. But what's in you is not a prop. It's real. And God gave it to you. And besides that, God said for you to use your gift. Did it not say that? I didn't say that. The Word of God said that today. And He says use it because I'm going to tell you why I want you to use it. Because I'm going to give you the ability to use what I gave you. If you will just but open that gift and use it. It's yours for the taking. God gave you a gift so you could bless others. Remember that. It's not to heap it up on yourself. It's to give to someone else. There was a story I read about in the World War II in France that the Germans had taken over a city and a bomb blew up and the shrapnel. The people of France had a statue of Jesus in the city square. And a piece of the shrapnel came and it hit Jesus and blew it all to pieces during the war. Well, it was all gone. Well, when the war settled down and all the people came back to that village, they began to find the pieces of Jesus that was there. And they began to put it all back together. And they got it all back together and everything was intact, but they couldn't find the hands. And because they couldn't find the hands, they started to take it down, but they said, no, let's leave it there. We don't know what to do with it, but it just looks awkward standing there with no hands on it that were blown away and they couldn't find them. So during the night, someone got a little gold plaque and put in the front of that statue, and it says, it's back together, everything but the hands, but we are the hands. We are the hands. You know, you ought to look at your hands sometimes and say, where is God's hands? What can He do on this earth? He can't do anything without hands. And you are the hands. All you need to do is listen and let Him operate through you, and you will be the hand that reaches out to touch. You will be the hand that reaches out to heal. You'll be the hand that reaches out to help someone else in every part of your life if you would but do that. It's not our job. I mean, it is our job as pastors and teachers to equip the saints, and that's you for the ministry. That's the fivefold ministry. And Jesus talked about the parables. The talents, the parable of the talents. He gave one five, he gave another one four, and he gave another one. And you know the story. They went out. The one who had five doubled it. Now he's got ten. The one who had four, he doubled it, and he's got more. But he went to the one, and he went and hid his talent. He did not open his gift, if you will. And Jesus says, "Depart from me, you wicked one." I thought that was a pretty hard word that Jesus would say about that. That the master would say, "Depart, you wicked one, because you did not do what I asked you to do." And I read that sometimes, and it's like, you know what? I don't want to be a wicked one. I want to be a blessed one. I want to be one that would be used. I want to be one of those, if he gave me five gifts, I want to go back and say, "Lord, here's ten." Or if he gave me two, I want to go back and say it's four. Or ever how many you get, multiply those things instead of sitting on them and doing nothing and be called wicked at the end of it. And you say, okay, well, what do you do about that? What are you doing with your gift? He punished the one that did nothing with his gift, and Jesus called him wicked. What are you doing with your gift as far as the body of Christ? And you say, well, I don't have time. I'm busy, or I'm tired. Well, everybody's busy. Everybody's tired. But we should never be too tired to do God's work. Amen? I mean, if God gave you something to do, and that's where I hear it sometimes from people that know better. If God gave you a vision, if he gave you something to do, he's going to give you the energy to follow through with it. And if you say you're tired, you're missing God because you're doing it on your own. I find that when I do things on my own, I get wore slap out. But when I do things according to God's will and things that he told me to do, I come out of there like the energized bunny. Every time I do. I mean, I cut three huge trees out of my yard this week. Got a guy to come and help me. We hauled them off. Came back and I got a stump grinder, ground the stumps up, and I'm talking about huge trees. Got two loads of sand to fill it in, and Janice and I got a pallet of grass and filled it in. I was wore slap out. I mean, I couldn't even hardly move. And it's like, why did I get that way? And it's like, well, one thing, you never prayed about cutting them trees down. You never asked God to help you. You just saw a need and you went out there and did it. But when I pray and I ask God to help me, I can leave a situation and I'm energized. Because God will give you the ability and the strength to do what he said to do. Amen? Okay. And you may say, well, I don't have time. Or if I do have time to do something, it may be minimal. Well, I want you to know, if you just give a cup of water in Jesus' name, that's a great thing. And you say, well, what are you talking about? I'm saying if you can stand up on your pew and greet somebody or love their neck or go help them to do something, and you do that as unto the Lord, you've done a great thing. It's a starting place. I'll never forget when I went with the pastor one time years ago to go pray with some people. He said, I want you to come and go with me. And I said, okay. I was a very young Christian, probably 3-4 weeks old. But I started reading things in the Bible about gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. And it's like, if I need the fruit of the Spirit, what's these other gifts over here? Who's going to get those? Where's that going to go? Is that going to be shuttled out to someone out of the church or what? I mean, I was just young and dumb about things, but I started reading that. And it's like, no, you know what? Jesus says you can do those things. It says if you go lay hands on the sick, they will recover. He said, you go pray, and the effectual prayer will change them, and then things will happen. And it's like, okay, I believe that. So he asked me to go, and we went to the hospital, and these people were up there. This lady was terminal. She was supposed to die within a week, probably even less than that. And I went with him just out of his invitation to go, and I'm standing there watching the situation. And he goes up in there, and they didn't believe in laying on hands. They didn't believe in putting oil on people or nothing. He just goes in there and he starts to pray. And he's sharing with her. And he said, Kenny, why don't you share with her what Jesus did in your life? And I'm looking at him like, man, I don't know how to do that. You know, but I'm sitting there. I got this giant butterfly in my stomach. And it's like, Lord, I need some help. And I started sharing with her how that one time I got shot in the back and I was supposed to have died. They give up on me. And I said, and Jesus brought me through that. One time I got stuck in the eye with a stick and I was blind. And the doctors gave me no hope to do that. And I said, but Jesus healed me and made me whole. And this lady started crying, and he said, well, why don't you come over and let's pray with her? Well, I didn't know about laying on the hands, but I went over, and she just stuck her hand out. So I got her hand in like this, and I started praying for her. And you could see faith begin to rise in this woman. And it was like, wow, God's doing something. And I didn't know that at the time, but it's like God's doing something in this lady. And we got ready to go, and I said, ma'am, you're going to walk again, and you're going to talk. And God's going to get you through this. You don't worry about it. And the pastor's looking at me because I didn't know the whole story. And he's looking at me like, that ain't going to happen. But I'm sitting there looking at him like, have I said something wrong? And he didn't say nothing out of courtesy not to hurt me. And I said, you just don't worry about it. I said, I don't care who tells you you're not going to live. You're going to live. Well, a week after that, that lady went home. And that lady's still alive today. And it's like, maybe God used me with that gift to help that lady. And I said, had I not gone there out of not knowing what to do, God had already intervened in the situation. Now, how many of you know that I'm not the healer? Jesus is the one that went to the cross. He's the one that heals. But we have to be his hands to go forth and take that to the people. Amen? And that revelation hit me, and I'm going to tell you what, it has messed my mind up ever since. I will never change. I will always do what the Bible says to do because God's word is true and he's faithful to carry through if we will take our part in doing what God said to do. Amen? You say, well, why are you telling me this story? Because that can happen to you. You may be the one to go somewhere and witness and have a spirit of evangelism come through you. Or you may go somewhere and pray for someone and have a gift of healing to come through you. Or the gift of faith to watch them and begin to watch that person's faith just begin to rise out of the ashes of nowhere and watch God do something great in that person. Because that gift is in you, and if you will take it to someone, you will see it happen. Amen? You know, there was a gift that God gave us. The greatest gift of all. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And I want you to know, Jesus took that gift when he came and he was betrayed with a kiss. That was the beginning of unwrapping the greatest gift that we would ever see on the face of the earth. Not only did Judas come and give him a kiss to show him where he was, but then they came and they took a crown of thorns. And they took that crown of thorns and they took it and they slammed it down on his head and began to spit on him, pull his beard, pull it out hair by hair. They took him to a cross. And they took him and laid him on that cross. And they took those nails. And they took that hammer. And they began to drive in. They began to rip off the gift, the wrapping. You know, Jesus went 33 years on the face of this earth, and he did a great job in what he did. But he was the greatest gift of all, and until that gift became unwrapped, it was no good anymore. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? See, some of y'all's gifts are falling out already. But it's useless until it's unwrapped. And when it was being unwrapped, you could hear the nails being driven. They took the cat of nine tails with things on it. This is just a regular little bull whip or dog whip or something. I don't know what it is. But it's a small whip. But they took one that had nine tails on the ends of it. And it had glass and little pieces of rock. Maybe little shards of metal. And they began to beat him on the back and rip the flesh off of him. That wrapping that was on the greatest gift that we will ever have. Every time they would slap him on the back, they were ripping, unwrapping the gift of salvation for me and for you. Every time they beat him, they were ripping that flesh off Because the greatest gift that you and I will ever have is the gift of life, the gift of salvation. And the more blood that ran out, the greater the gift was. And that gift is for you and I. And that's the gift that Jesus says, go ye therefore into all the world and tell them that they can become Christians, that they can become saved. And the very word salvation, you know, is sozo, the Greek word for it. And it literally means saved and being saved, delivered, prosperous. That God's got a plan for us and He's got a great gift for us. And it's called salvation. And if He went to a cross and they beat Him and they tore Him, they took the spear and they threw it and stabbed Him in the side as a last resort, and out came blood and water, the gift was instilled in our hearts. That's why we're here today. Had that not happened, you'd be on a boat somewhere in a lake. I'd be riding. I'd be doing something. We'd all be doing something. But there's something that draws the body together, and it's that salvation that God has given us, the greatest gift. And all He's asked us to do is to take the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, and the knowledge of knowing what He did on that cross, that God made a blood covenant with us, and take it to a lost and dying world. And for us to be the body of Christ, that we would be the people that God has called us to be. What a call. What a gift that we have. And it's both ours. Not only the gift of salvation, but the gift of going and taking it to someone else. But we have to be unwrapped. Many of you have been through stuff. You've been through hurts. You've been through losses in your life. You've been through deaths. You've been through sicknesses. You've been through drug addiction. You've been through alcohol addiction. You've been through all kinds of stuff. And all that is God showing, because you have a gift in you. And if it takes all of that to rip the wrapping off of it, then God's done a good job. Because whatever you've gone through in your lifetime, you can take that and you can go share that with someone else. And you can share the gift of life to them. Amen? Nick, would y'all come to the worship team? I believe I'm talking to people today who are tired of doing church. They want to be the church. Are you tired of just doing church? Or do you want to be the church? You want to come and say, yeah, you know what? You just challenge me. I want to be the church. I want to be one of those that knows that I have a gift, that God has given me a gift to do things, and I want to begin to use those things. Not only with a purpose in my life, but with a personality. I want to find out more about the personality of Jesus, that I can touch people and I can move and do things that I need to do as a Christian in my life. Well, we can either sit back on the sidelines or we can get involved. We can get committed. Some of you may say, wow, if I get committed, then I'm going to have to show up. Yeah, you are. You are going to have to show up. When you commit to something, you got to commit to it, to stay with it. I got about 12 or 13 guys that meet with me every Wednesday night up front. And I thank God for them all the time, because they're committed. They stuck it out. We've been meeting, I don't even know how many weeks, but they're committed to doing something because they want to know more about Jesus, more about how to love their wives, more about how to love their children, more about knowing who they are in Christ and being involved in things. They're committed to it. And if it takes commitment, then we need to get committed. You know, we really got committed when we said, Lord Jesus, come into my life. That was a commitment that we took. But many of us sometimes will back off from that thing, and we can't do that. We're living in the times, I read the scripture a while ago, that we're living in perilous times. We're living in times where we need to seriously take everything important. Everything, and know that God has got a plan and He's got a time for us. But we got to work while it's day, because the night's coming where we can't work anymore. I want you to use your gift. If you want to grow and see the church grow, you got to show up and use your gift. And it starts today. If that's you, I want everyone to stand, if you would, please. And if it's you, if you want God to use the gift that's in you, I want you to come down here and let's just line up across here. We're going to pray for you. We're going to believe God to touch you, to minister to you, that everything that's within you will be totally unwrapped. If Jesus went to a cross and in open shame and His gift was opened and He gave that gift to us, how much do we need to get up and just say, Lord, I want that gift to be operated in my life. I want You to come and do a mighty work within me. God, I want to be everything that You've called me to be. And if you don't know what your gift is, you come and ask God, God, show me what my gift is. God, show me what You want me to do. Show me everything that You would have me to get up and to do in my life. They're both Your gifts, and they're both from Him. Both of them. I want some of you to come and stand behind these, and let's just pray, and let's believe God to touch and move in their lives, and see God do a miracle. Watch the body of Christ become alive, that where when people come in here, they'll leave changed every time they come in here. That we'll see the mercies and the grace of God. We'll see God move in a great way. And people, when they come into this church, they can say, I've been with Jesus because I've seen His body. I've seen His body. I've seen His hands touch me and heal me and make me whole. Thank You, Lord. Father, we thank You, Lord God. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. You that are out there, just extend your hands forward and just begin to pray for these today.
Thank You, Lord. All the empty claims I've heard upon this earth speaks righteousness for me. It stands in my defense. Jesus, it's Your blood. Jesus, it's Your blood. What can wash away our sin? What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the what can wash
on, everybody say amen today, would you? Just give them a good clap off of you. Yeah, come on. Give me a key of F, would you?